from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus began to approach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and in ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sidon, Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last week we've been focused on Jesus' instruction before sending the 12 out to proclaim the gospel. And at the end of yesterday's gospel reading, we hear that when Jesus had finished giving the commands to them and sent them forth, he went away from that place to teach and preach in their town. He himself went to proclaim that the kingdom was at hand, to cure the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. He himself went with no money bag, no second tunic, no walking stick. He began to put into practice exactly what he had communicated to them. As we pondered, was looking for welcome. What did he find? He found a certain welcome. Those in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum didn't run him out of town. Jesus was really good for the sick there. I mean, we know that he worked this miracle of the multiplication of loaves in Bethsaida. We know he did the second one near Capernaum. We know in Capernaum, he had worked so many miracles that everybody from the surrounding towns were trying to bring their loved ones on stretchers to meet Jesus. But the house was too full, and he cured everybody from after sunset all the way until the middle of the night. They had, on the outside, very much welcomed Jesus' presence and his miraculous deeds. But Jesus didn't come to their towns just to work a few signs. Jesus had come to heal their souls, to change their lives forever, to help them to turn everything around, to repent, and truly to believe in the gospel. And they weren't willing to accept that change. They welcomed Jesus superficially, like we would have heard on Sunday, in that rocky soil. But they hadn't received Jesus, that word of God made flesh, on good soil that was producing the fruits of the kingdom, the fruits of repentance and faith. So Jesus gives some very powerful words of reproach here. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. And then he chose the two most infamous towns of Phoenicia, with reputations for total debauchery, because that's where the soldiers themselves would come. And he said, if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in those towns, they would long ago have repented, just like ancient pagan Nineveh did. Sackcloth and ashes. But with you, no real change of life. And for you, Capernaum, the place in which everybody was saying was now Jesus' home, the place during his public ministry he spent more time than anywhere else. Will you be exalted to heaven? Because people were saying, hey, how great Capernaum is, because they've got this prophet in their midst. Will you be exalted to heaven? No, you're going to go down to hell. because if what I have done in you were done in ancient Sodom, it would have converted, but you haven't. Powerful words. Jesus was looking for a welcome of his message, of his person. He wanted people to recognize their sickness so that Jesus could heal them at the depth with which he wanted to heal them. But they didn't want to have their priorities changed in the least. And so Jesus, precisely out of love, gave them these strong words so that they might, in fact, recognize that they had a greater than Solomon among them and that they ought to do what he says. It's an opportunity for us to think about the welcome we really give to Jesus. Sure, we have received among us far greater miracles than they have. Jesus multiplied 7 loaves and a few fish and 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed multitudes, but here he gives us himself. Jesus cast out some demons, made some cripples walk again, but in the sacrament of confession, he restores our soul to its baptismal splendor so that God might have a fitting abode, something far greater. They had heard some of his words. We have all of his recorded words among us. We have others who believe in the gospel surrounding us all the time. How much God has blessed us. Many of us were baptized just as infants. An extraordinary gift. But do we continue to show signs of welcoming Jesus at the depth with which he wants to be received? What is that depth? He wants nothing short of sanctity. Not necessarily all at once, but an openness for him to work those moral miracles on his timescale, not our own. What Jesus wants from us is to allow him to love us fully at the depth with which he wants to love us with his mercy, and then to transform us so that we will become that love toward others. Do we accept him at that level? Because he works the greatest miracles among us that he has ever worked. Today in the first reading, we see an example of welcoming of the Lord in contrast to the culture. Even though there was a law on the books, we could say, passed by Pharaoh, that male boys needed to be drowned, the mother of Moses refused. She knew what was wrong. She received her child as a gift from God. She wanted to do whatever she could to save his life. And this was a latch-stitched effort, because if any of Pharaoh's henchmen had come to their home, Moses was surely dead. So she put him in that basket with bitumen and pitch and just prayed for the best. And the best did come. And Pharaoh's daughter welcomed this Hebrew boy and saved his life. A lot of the time, sisters, you're helping the whole culture as the baskets with bitumen and pitch, as Pharaoh's daughter, as Moses' mother. How much the world needs that example of welcoming in an age in which we reject Christ in the least among us, every 23 seconds in the United States alone. We also see this welcoming in the life of St. Camillus, whom we celebrate today. St. Camillus, as a young man, talked about himself as a great sinner. His worst habit was that he was addicted to gambling. And gambling led to lots of other vices at the same time, including drinking too much, in terms of swearing, in terms of placing your faith, hope, and love, and hitting the jackpot, and material things, and everything else rather than in God. But at 25, when he was in Naples, he lost it all. Literally, he lost even the shirt off his back, which they stripped off his back on a street of Naples. And as he was going out into the country, nursing his wounds, he was hit with the grace of conversion. dropped to his knees, began to weep copiously, and to ask the Lord's mercy. So we went to a local Franciscan church and received the sacraments. And thereafter he became a changed man. Welcoming the grace of conversion, he wanted to help others to receive it. He was huge. Born in 1550, he was 6'6", which would be somewhere around 6'11", 7 feet today. But he had a terrible leg injury, ulcerous wounds and the whole rest of it that he had received in battle with his dad as a teenager. And so he suffered tremendously. And when he was laid up in a hospital for 6 months, he just saw how many people suffered in that hospital. Hospitals were in such a terrible state, not just in terms of uncleanness, but there were no real nurses at the time. Families, for the most part, needed to do it, and when families wouldn't show up, they'd just get a bunch of criminals to come on in and try to clean and care. And you can guess what level of care that would be. And people just suffered tremendously because of the lack of affection, the real lack of a Christian spirit. So eventually, when he had recuperated in Sara, he had great organizational skills and he wanted to put them to the service of the sick. And that's where he started. He went to Rome, started to organize a hospital. St. Philip Neri was his spiritual director by God's own providence. St. Philip guided him in this way. So eventually he was given custody of the hospital, but his authority wasn't much to change things. So St. Philip said if you were a priest, it would change things a lot. So he prepared for the priesthood. And then he started to arrange others around him, called the ministers of the sick, and formed them to be able to welcome Christ in such a depth that they would be able to see him in every patient they welcomed. So strong was the sense in Camillus's mind that he was welcoming Christ, that often he would confess his sins outwardly before the patients he was serving. And he always preached on Matthew 25, when I was sick, you welcomed me, in order to help his order of the ministers of the sick to recognize exactly what they were doing, convert from their own self-centeredness, and go out to meet Christ in the disguise of those who were very ill. What an extraordinary example he gives us. To welcome each other like Christ, to hear Christ's call to conversion today, and to bear fruit in acts of charity. Real hard, persevering acts of charity that over the course of time, the greater the habit is formed, become sweeter, lighter, and easier. And to strengthen us in this work, Jesus enters within. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.